What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know, Charlie. There's an article in the Post-Gazette on how you can get a loan of snowshoes. Several state parks will loan you snowshoes to walk in. You can do this at Keystone State Park, Laurel Hill, Laurel Highlands, and the Jennings Environmental Education Center. I don't know where that is. And Raccoon Creek State Park. Does snowshoe walking look at all enjoyable to you? Putting giant contraptions on your feet, strapping them to your feet, and then walking in deep snow? It seems more like torture than anything enjoyable. Perhaps I'm wrong.
Thoughts? I've always wanted to do it.
I've never wanted to do it. Never a thought about wanting to do it.
I've always wanted to go to Alaska and just walk in the wilderness, and I would need snowshoes for that. On the same note, however,
Do you wear your own shoes under the snowshoes, or how does that work?
I don't know. See, that's something
They're very much a mystery to me.
Yeah.
But the idea of strapping a giant contraption to my feet so that I can walk in the snow seems very unappealing.
So what are your thoughts on skiing and snowboarding?
Well, those are activities. Those.
But you're still strapping your feet in.
Well, right, but skiing, you're going down a hill fast. It's an adrenaline to it. It's a sport.
You could be going downhill depending on how bad your snowshoes are.
I guess you could, yeah.
In the same breath, I highly recommend finding the video of Marshawn Lynch snowboarding for the first time. It is quite hysterical.
I'll tell you what I do like is tubing. I've done that up at Deep Creek and other places. And that's fun. You know, you get on an inner tube and you go down a hill. Very simple, very fun. Trekking for miles with these giant, I don't know, what do they even look like? I picture them as almost like musical instruments strapped to your feet.
Shoes. Yeah. They kind of look like tennis rackets.
Tennis rackets,
with
yeah.
With like spikes on them.
Right. What is the appeal here? Is anybody texting us?
Somebody just said go to some YouTube channel. Please watch this YouTube channel, Outdoor Boys, for all your Alaskan needs, whatever.
Do you wear your socks with the snowshoes, or do you wear your actual shoes and then strap them over that? That's another question I have. Where's Kabali?
He
told me earlier he would come on at noon or maybe a little after. It's now 8 after.
I will continue the efforts to get him.
Ridiculous, this guy.
With your...
Does this every single week, intentionally sabotages the show. Maybe because I'm so resistant to this, I should actually do this. I should actually go snowshoe walking.
Yes, you wear your own shoes with snowshoes, but they need to be sturdy, waterproof, and insulated.
I guess I can imagine 5 minutes into this, or maybe 30 seconds into this, saying, why am I doing this? Why? I don't like, why would, like going for a hike through the snow. Okay, maybe. But then making it more difficult? How does it make it easier to strap this giant contraption to your shoes?
Maybe it helps you like wade through the depths of the snow.
Maybe. It's maybe it does.
Instead of like lifting your foot and like taking giant steps, it helps easier. It makes it easier walking normally.
I don't think I'm ever going to do this. You ever been on a snowmobile?
No. I've been on a jet ski before.
You like the jet skis? I like jet skis.
They're fun.
I really don't like snow recreation, though. I hate skiing, actually, now that you mention it. I hate it. I truly hate it. I'm fearful of the lift, where I had a traumatic experience as a kid in Sweden when we lived there. Actually, it was Austria. It was on the way to Sweden, where I almost fell out of the whole ritual of skiing. Yeah, how many times can you possibly go down? And then every time you go down, it takes an hour to get back up on the ski lift. The ski lift is frightening, or you have to walk or grab onto a rope. Then you're at the top of the mountain. There's 18 million people there. You're afraid someone, one of these guys who's showing off, just like the ice skating rink, is gonna blow out a knee. You could go flying into a tree. I don't know how to stop. It's not fun. In fact, it's an out of control feeling when I'm skiing. I'm like, I have no control over this. There's nothing enjoyable. It sounds great. Let's go skiing. It's a snowy day. It's beautiful. We'll have hot cocoa in the lounge. Even the renting of the skis is a bloody nightmare. I hate skiing. And I just wanted to say that out loud. I absolutely hate it.
So we know what you're not going to be doing in 2026.
Yes, there will be no skiing.
Used to wear snowshoes in deep snow as a conservation officer in North Central Pennsylvania. Really only necessary in snow 1-to-1 and half a foot. So pretty, not deep. You strap them on to the bottom of your boots.
Half a foot is pretty deep, really.
Yeah. You strap them on to the bottom of your boots and they keep you up on the surface so you're not as tired as walking.
Okay. How does that work?
I don't know. Are these magical snow boots where you just glide,
you glide on top of the snow?
What if it's like really fluffy snow? Do you stay on top of the fluffy snow?
I don't know. And I'll tell you another thing. I hate ice skating. And I'm finally going to admit that out loud. I used to go with my daughter all the time. And it was an absolute nightmare.
It's always
every second of it. The skates hurt.
Yep.
Especially rental skates.
Oh, yeah.
I've gone to the places where they give you the cheapest rental skates. And then you get out there and you're all like a bunch of idiots skating in a circle with people in front of you, behind you. And like I said, there's always one or two that for some reason think this is the time to show off. So they're weaving in and out. And I keep telling myself one false move and this little idiot's going to blow out my knee. There's nothing enjoyable about this. Plus, I don't know how to stop in skating either. I suppose, and have had experiences over at Mount Lebanon Ice Rink that were great because nobody was there. I used to go during the workday before the 2 p.m. show when I work with Mulsey and Josh and John Seibel and Pony for a week, Colin Dunlap for a week. Am I missing anybody? Ron for many years. I could go over to the Mount Lebanon ice rink, rent a pair of skates, and then just have a it was just me. Now, that was fun because you can go as fast as you want. I still couldn't stop, but as fast as you want in a circle or do sprints. However, I became ashamed then because on a lot of days, it was me and a figure skater with her coach. Not the same one, but often a figure skater. So while I'm like charging ahead and stopping myself by jumping into the boards, like picture that. Some idiot, it like basketball sprints. I'm skating from one end to the other and then jumping in the boards to stop myself while someone on the other side of the ice is doing, you know, axles and all the stuff that pirouettes and all the stuff that figure skaters do. And then I quit really in shame.
You're like I believe his name was Mendoza from the Mighty Ducks. He just couldn't stop, so he would just fly full.
That was me.
Just go right into the boards. The last time I went ice skating was in the city by the big
PPG.
Tree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there was that one kid who
it's
just
always
wanted to
the one kid.
He just wanted to show off,
right.
And he clipped my right skate, and I pretty much did like a half flip, landed right on my shoulder. And that was the last time I went ice skating. That was 3 years ago. I can't do public skates. I can't.
Yeah.
Because like you said, there's always that one idiot.
It's the one.
Idiot.
He ruins it. Yeah. There should be skating security guards out there. Maybe security guards and snowshoes. I don't know. Kabali texts me, middle of PQ award ceremony. Can't get out. Patrick Queen won an award. Is that what he means?
PQ. What award did he win?
Maybe he won the media good guy or something.
The best player to play for the Steelers and Ravens of all time.
I don't know. All right. Forget him. What if Lamar does play? Are the Steelers better off going against Lamar or Tyler Huntley? I think that's a legitimate question right now because Lamar Jackson just pretty much, you know, except for a couple of a half here and a half there maybe, really hasn't been himself all year. And he doesn't seem to be, you know, willing to crawl across broken glass to try to win this thing this year. I was surprised he wasn't on the field last week, honestly. I mean, there's all these reports of him and Harbaugh having a rift. If they miss out, what's the offseason going to look like in Baltimore? And Tyler Huntley looked pretty darn good against the Packers. I'm not sure that the Steelers aren't better off facing Lamar in this game. Am I nuts?
No, I'd be more afraid seeing Snoop Huntley because he's healthy. And Lamar obviously isn't. Joe, we have somewhat pretty big breaking news regarding Pitt football.
Yes.
Rasheem Biles, the standout linebacker, two-time ACC All-Selection, is entering the transfer portal.
Cool.
So one of the bigger names of the Pitt defense seemingly is leaving. So that's pretty big for Pat Narduzzi.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man. But when any time, and this probably goes for almost anywhere, it really does. Anytime you have a star player, but especially if you're not, you know, a blue blood, so to speak, anytime. So, and that's why when Mason Heinsohn suddenly emerged as a star, a potential star this year, a lot of people's first thought was, oh, where's he going to wind up? And that might be still your thought, by the way. And so this isn't surprising. I mean,
it's just the market
look at it
and
say,
climate.
Yeah, they got 2 years out of him. Now he's moving on.
I would like to bend your ear on something regarding the transfer portal.
Please.
I talked about this yesterday on the Donnie Football Debrief on the PM team.
Yeah.
But I want to hear your thoughts on it because it's still the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Oklahoma State transfer offensive tackle Grant Segrin is set to visit four schools in his carousel of trying
Oklahoma
to
Oklahoma State transfer, you said?
He's transferring from Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
He is visiting four schools.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the four schools he is visiting.
Yeah.
He's transferring from Oklahoma State. He is visiting Auburn, Northwestern, Arkansas, and Oklahoma State. He is transferring from Oklahoma State, yet is taking an official visit to the school he is transferring from.
Doesn't he know his way around yet, or why is he visiting the school he's transferring from? Is there some technicality that he has to follow here? What's going on?
Apparently, he's visiting with other potential transfers to see if he fits there moving forward.
Yeah.
Which I understand. But couldn't you just do that in a simple phone call, not to take an official visit?
You would think. One would think.
Aren't you already staying there?
I don't get as wrapped up in the transfer portal and NIL and all this stuff. I don't care. You know, I care when the season starts.
Who's not?
Who's on your team? It's like fantasy football every year, fantasy basketball. And you better learn to deal with it if you're the Pitts of the world, right? Hopefully they'll pay Heinsohn, and hopefully he'll be back. You know, you lose one, not surprising. Cabali's ready, by the way. Can you call him, please?
Of course.
I don't know what the PQ ceremony was. But I know he's at Steeler headquarters, so he won't be on the video, which deprives us all of looking at Mark Cabali during this interview. By the way, you can watch on YouTube. In fact, you should watch on YouTube. The numbers are skyrocketing there. And you get there by going through our website, 937thefan.com, or go straight to YouTube and find it. Fan Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And now on the hotline, Mr. Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. Hello, big boy. What is the PQ award ceremony? What are you talking about?
Oh, Patrick Queen won the chief award. It was being presented by the Pittsburgh chapter of the Pro Football Writers Association as the most cooperative of the with the media. And as we're speaking now, one Derek Harmon won the Joe Green Great Performance Award as Rookie of the Year.
Well, I'm sure Patrick Queen will cherish this award for the rest of his life.
He gets his name on a plaque that nobody sees, so yes.
Did they choose team MVP yet? That's a team choice.
Tomorrow,
okay.
I think they're going to do that tomorrow.
Who's the president of
the media?
What?
It has nothing to do with the media. It's all players.
Yeah, or maybe the coach steps in. Who knows? Who's the president of the local Pittsburgh chapter?
Well, for one more day, it's Joe Rutter.
Ah.
Because old Scoot himself is retiring in about 6 hours.
Wait, Rutter's retiring?
Yes.
Holy ostrich milk.
Day. Yep, he's retiring. It will be done. Actually, I think he might hold on till the season's end, which might be Sunday, but officially he's done December 31st, which is today.
Well, he caught a big pass from Aaron Rodgers a couple of weeks ago on the sidelines, which is more than MVS could say from the Browns game, right?
Yeah, and he saved me from singing Soprano, too, because it was aiming right for the nether regions of mine, and I froze, and he saved my life.
Well, you'll always have that. Joe Rutter, I didn't know he was retiring. He had one of the most notable tenures of any beat writer in Pittsburgh sports history. He covered, like, I don't know, 18 of the Pirates losing 20 seasons as a beat writer. He was a beat writer forever and never witnessed the team he covered having a winning season. It was incredible.
I think his first season covering the Pirates was 93.
How long did he go?
Till 20... maybe 2010, 2013.
Right before they won again.
And he came to the Steelers, I think, in 2016. Had a couple good years, but mediocre Joe after that. So maybe it's Rutter's fault.
It might be. He brought that to the Steelers. All right, we just raised this question, Mark, and it's Mark Cabali over at Steeler headquarters right now. Are the Steelers better off? Like, Lamar is apparently going to practice today, according to Rappaport. Or is practicing. I don't know. I haven't seen an update on that. Are they better off facing Lamar or Huntley in this game?
I think it's Huntley. I mean, we're still talking about Lamar freaking Jackson here, two-time MVP. Mr. Jackson. I'll take my chances with the guy they call Snoop over a two-time MVP, even though he might be banged up, even though he hasn't had the best of seasons here. I know I might be in the minority on this one, but... I don't want to see Lamar Jackson because there's always that thought of him doing Lamar Jackson type of stuff.
Yeah,
even
I hear that.
I mean, even if he really hasn't had a ton of success against the Steelers over his career, he did play pretty well about a month ago, if I recall. Had some bad luck, some drop passes.
You're right about that.
Questionable call. So I'm going Snoop Huntley, man. I want to see him, at least with Snoop Huntley, you pretty much know what you got to stop, right? Derrick Henry. Now, with Lamar's out there, you got to stop Derrick Henry, but there's always this guy, too. So, give me Snoop all day.
You know what, Charlie? He does make a good point. Lamar actually played a pretty good game there. He had the likely touchdown that was a touchdown till it wasn't. And then the week before, was it the Bengals game? I can't remember who they were playing now, but I think it was the Bengals, where there were two touchdowns called back and just some crazy stuff happening.
I think Zay Flowers even dropped a couple easy balls.
He did. The other one was Bateman. Bateman dropped a ball at the 4-yard line against the Steelers. Wide open, would have walked in the end zone.
He led him on that touchdown until it wasn't a touchdown.
Until
with,
what, it wasn't.
2-3 minutes. Yeah. So give me the guy that bounced around from Cleveland to Cincinnati, wherever he's been, Cleveland, Baltimore. He's been on like six teams in a year and a half, but they've all been the same two teams. It's kind of crazy.
Not a bad point by you at all. Derrick Henry.
This could be the first time you ever agree with me, Joe. Ever.
Second, I think. Derrick Henry has had games this season. We're talking about, I think, an all-time great running back who still gets it done in a big way. In his last three games, he has 444 yards rushing in his last and six touchdowns. His last since they lost to the Steelers, This dude has 440 yards and six touchdowns. He's had games this year of 18 carries, 11 carries, 12, 8, 15, 19, 20, 18, 10, 11, and 18. What are they doing?
Criminal.
What are they doing?
Absolutely criminal. I mean, there's a couple of those ones where he didn't even, what was that, a couple of weeks ago where he didn't even touch the ball in the
New England
three drives?
After he destroyed them on the second last drive, they didn't use him on what could have been the game-clinching drive. He was literally watching the game in a jacket.
Yep. You know, other teams have coaches, too, who can screw up. So that's the way you look. I mean, there's no other explanation. I don't know if they were trying to, you know, save him for the stretch run, or I don't know what they were doing, but they tend to do that a lot over even the last couple, both the years he was there. They don't feed the guy as much as he probably should be fed. Trust me. I mean, I know nobody cares about anybody's fantasy team, but I had this guy for 10 years and I know how they use him. And I know how they use him the last couple of years, and it has not been correctly. This is a guy is a game changer. Yeah, you just hope he doesn't be a guy that can just murder you, right? You can deal with 100 yards, right? You can't deal with 200 yards and four touchdowns and just running you over like we saw last year in January at the in the playoff game. So even if he does go out there and they do hand him the ball a little bit more, you keep him in control. You keep him from those big runs, which you know, sometimes they do. I mean, recently they have. I think you have a good chance there. Once he starts breaking some of those big ones, it's tough sledding right there. So, hey, 66 yards with, what was it, 66 yards with Derek Harmon? 170 without him?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be the, I mean, which one is it? I always find fans, they crack me up. Yeah, Derek Harmon is the difference maker. He's going to be a guy. Look at these stats. He has to be a difference maker, but they can't stop Derrick Henry. So which one is it? You know, something has to give this week, right?
Well, what gives in the TJ Watt situation? What percent chance do you, as an educated observer, give for him playing this weekend?
That's tough. I mean, they're just getting on the field now. Saw him walk over there, but I don't think they're doing any pads today whatsoever, which is a typical Wednesday late in the season, no pads or helmet. He looks good. But you need to get him to up to speed here. You know, it's more than just how much you can run and if you feel good. I mean, he has to get into football shape here. He's missed some, whatever it's been, 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
What are you betting on? He plays or doesn't play?
This is just a total guess right now because we haven't seen him practice yet. I think he might dress, but I think he might not play that much. You know what I'm saying?
But he does play, you think?
He does play maybe a 15-snap, third and long type of situation, which might be very hard for him to do because you know him. He doesn't want to come off the field. People make fun of him tapping out, but if you look at his numbers, he taps out not very much. He plays all but like six, seven snaps per game. They're just noticeable when he's not out there. So that's something he's going to have to deal with. But I think ultimately he might play, but I don't think he's going to, he cannot be a full participant. He can't be a, you know, 60 snap guy. No way.
What happens if the Ravens win convincingly? Do things get ugly in the stadium like they did against the Bills, Mark, in your opinion?
Probably. Especially if it's early, first half. I mean, the fans will be behind this team early in this game, but if they come out, there might be some boos, honestly, if they go down the field and score on the first drive. But yeah, I think it is set up more than losing to the Ravens, but how it was an 80% chance of winning the division, making the playoffs, and you lose in Cleveland like you did, compounded again with another loss like this. I don't think it would be pretty. It would have to, like I said, it would have to get a little bit out of hand for that to happen early, but I think it's a potential, yes.
Blowout or not, if they do lose, what happens with Mike Tomlin?
He stays.
Okay. And does he, tell me, Mark, his contract through 2027, is that 2027 year something that needs to be triggered this off season?
Yeah, I think he has to, what is it, they have to pick up that option May 1st or something, March 1st, something like that.
Will they do that too?
I think they will, but I just don't think that means much. I mean,
so even if they were to lose as convincingly as they did last year to the Ravens, you're pretty much 100% sure that Tomlin will be back next year?
Yeah, if I can go 101%, I would say yes.
Wow.
I mean, we were praising this guy for 3 straight weeks as what an unbelievable job he's done. So, I mean, which one are we going with this time? I mean,
whatever happens on the field. What do you mean? We're going with whatever happens on the field, not based on one game, because now we would be completing
on one game.
No, we're not. It would be the completion of 9 years without being competitive in a single playoff game. It's not at all.
Okay. Let me hypothetical to you. They win this game, make it a playoffs, and get whipped by Houston. Will you now fire him again?
I think this year is contingent on winning a playoff game. My God, at least being competitive in one.
Would you be okay with them just not picking up his option and letting him play, letting him coach? Would you be okay with
that? Yeah, I think that would be a pretty interesting story, I'll tell you that much, for them not to pick up his option.
Yeah, I mean, everything's a possibility.
Do you think he'll want to move on? Schefter kind of alluded to that the other day by saying maybe
Schefter
he'll...
Schefter got caught up in a word salad there, if you ask me. I don't think I don't really think that he had any inside information. He was just gibbering, jabbering, and give my boss credit. You know, people seem to let their guard down when you talk to him and you say some stuff. You're like, oh, geez, why'd I say that? People are going to take this the wrong way. I don't think he has any inside information or anything like that.
Okay.
I think he was just saying, well, you know, this could happen because look at these two coaches, you know, just trying to fill time, so to speak. I don't think he has any insider knowledge. I don't think anybody has any insider knowledge when it comes to something like that. So I wouldn't read too much into that, what he said there.
All right. Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. Man, there's so many different issues to talk about. Tomlin, Watt.
You still have him going to the Super Bowl or no?
No, I changed that. Yeah. Silly me, I looked at the results of a game in Cleveland and changed my mind. But Mark, that was a top five, or however you want to look at it, bottom five loss of Tomlin's entire tenure.
It wasn't pretty. Now, they come out and beat Baltimore 42-0. They back into the Super Bowl or not?
Then we'll have a different conversation. It's no different than asking them, you know, five games into the Darius Slay tenure. Hey, if this guy comes back with a great game, you going to keep him? Yeah, of course. If he continues to play bad, are you going to cut him? Yup. That's the way it works in pro sports, my friend.
You're like the intern Dom's not there. He'd be drilling.
No, he'd be pulling up receipts and everything else of my old quotes. That kid is unbelievable. What about DK Metcalf? Are there going to be ramifications for him with the Steelers financially this offseason? I see people wanting to cut him, which I think is crazy. What's going to happen here?
I don't think there's anything going to happen. I think we've already heard some things leaking out that they're really not blaming him. I mean, maybe they're blaming him because he shouldn't have done that. He has to control his anger. But on the other side of it, it's like, yeah, I kind of understand what happened here too as well. No, I don't think there's any ill will towards him right now as it comes to the organization. Now, the fans might have a different view of this if they lose this game. So, he's still working out, man. He's still working out, getting ready for a potential playoff game. And
3 weeks ago, he was everybody's hero for volunteering to be a punt gunner and also for getting 148 yards on the Ravens. Remember that?
There's the great Will Howard just say hello.
Did he? That was Will Howard? Can you put him on?
No, he just had another gun to the practice. There are indoor takes.
I'll ask him 2 quick questions. Go ahead.
I could tell you. No, they already went in. I'm outside freezing my butt off, Joe.
Do you think Will Howard will be the Steelers' future quarterback?
2 years from now, maybe. I mean, what are you going to do next year if Aaron just says, I'm done? Who knows what he's going to do?
According to intern Dom, they're going to trade for Joe Burrow.
Oh, okay. That'd be a great plan.
Did you hear about that, Nelly? Do you like intern Dom, Nelly?
I love the kid. He knows exactly what to do in this business. Not only is...
I like him, too. Did you hear I'm taking him, Donnie, and Limits out for a steak dinner next week?
Can I come just for an appetizer?
No.
Thank you. He also wants Tony Romo to be a head coach as well.
He wants Tony Romo, if Tomlin's fired, to be the Steelers coach.
Oh, that's interesting. He goes out of the limb a little bit too much here. But seriously, Joe, I mean, there's nobody in free agency you want. You're not going to be anywhere near getting one of those top two quarterbacks, so what are you going to do?
Well, there's always people available, first of all.
Yeah, not better than what you got, probably.
I don't know. There's nobody better than Mason Rudolph out there?
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky, your buddy.
How about Kyler Murray? He's better than Mason.
Is he?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, depends what happens. I mean,
just give the job to Will Howard. I think that should be the way.
Well, you make an open competition next year, and whoever wins, wins. Mason and Will. That's what I would do.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if the Steelers open camp with a Mason Rudolph Will Howard competition?
I mean, it could be trending that way, right?
So, what did you think of Rodgers' game in Cleveland?
I don't think it was as bad as people were portraying it to be. It wasn't his best job.
They scored 6 points.
Yeah. I got to watch what I say when I'm walking around here.
That's right. If Rodgers is walking right behind, I thought he played great.
I don't want Scotty Miller and MVS right behind me hearing me ripping on him or anything, but those guys are good at what their role was, which was third downs, moving the chains, 15, 20 snaps a game. And when you threw them in a situation that was bigger than them or bigger than what their talent now has or their age is showing through, this is what you got. So he didn't really have much to work with at all. I think this game, Joe, I don't know if you agree with me, this one, huge, huge coaching game. Huge scheme game.
This one
it's
coming
the same
up.
People. It's the same people. You're not going to change the people. Obviously, Baltimore say, let's just put 9 people in the box and let's see if these guys can be this one-on-one again. We don't think they can. Let's see what the coaches, the Arthur Smiths, the Mike Tomlins come up with to be able
to. I want Freiermuth to be targeted 15 times in this game.
And game well 18. And I'll be happy. They would win.
Are you staying here or you have to go?
I'm fine. I'm just going to go in and warm up during your break here because I'm freezing.
All right. We'll bring you back in a minute. Thank you, big boy. I want to ask for a prediction. I want to ask for your biggest Steeler story of the year, stuff like that, okay?
All right. There's Chris Adamski. I don't think you want to talk to him, though. All right.
See you, buddy. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's not yet the 50-minute mark, is it? Yeah, I used to worry about that during those interviews around the. You got to be careful of that, that you rip a guy who's standing right next to you or walks behind you and hears you, like Yager. Anywho, more with the big boy.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up. There's so much happening around the Steelers and Ravens right now. So much drama. Watt and Jackson and Metcalf and futures of coaches. It's a pretty big football game. This just in, it's a pretty big game, and it's still a wide open AFC as far as I'm concerned. Is Stephon Diggs going to be playing for New England? I don't know. Are there believers out there, like full believers in the Jaguars and the Broncos? Chargers? Anyone? Have you seen that offensive line? Texans? Have you seen that offense? Bills? Have you seen that defense? I don't know, man. Either one of these teams gets in, they could win a playoff game. Maybe the Ravens could win too. Maybe the I don't know. The Steelers have Houston coming here. Let's say that. That's like, that would be the miracle on ice, to beat a team with no running game and no offensive line. Not to me, it wouldn't.
As of 45 minutes ago, another Patriots player, Christian Barmore, is facing charges for another thing. So the Patriots are kind of in disarray.
And they're already banged up. I mean, it is a wide open. We just saw the Patriots play the Ravens. The game went down to the wire. We've seen the Bills and the Texans down to the wire. We've seen the Steelers beat the Ravens. We've seen the Steelers beat the Patriots. Come on. It's wide open here. So there's a big football game happening. Is the big boy on the air still, Limits? I mean, Donnie?
Limits.
I mean, what's your name again?
Matt Cole.
Matty Ice. Matt. Hello, Dr. Cabali. Who's going to win the actual football game? What's this going to boil down to?
I heard you. Your little speech there, and look in the NFC. 2 weeks ago, the Rams were the best team in the world, and now they might be a 6 seed.
Yeah, so, exactly.
It's not only in the AFC.
I know. I see the NFC is having a higher caliber of team, and I think that speaks to it, the fact that the Rams could be a 6 seed. But, yeah, it's wide open there, too.
Yep. Widest open I've ever seen. Who's going to win this game? Wow. I've been so wrong on the Steelers. It's been amazing. I don't think I missed – I think I might have missed one all of last year. I might have got one right this year, so I probably should pick the Steelers what's that team they're playing? The Ravens to win, just for the fact that I would be wrong because I'm always wrong. I'm really leaning towards the Steelers a little bit. I think they're going to be able to stop Derrick Henry because we've seen – when they put their mind to it, they can stop some of the better running backs in the league. We saw the Jonathan Taylors. We saw the Lions. Gibbs and Montgomery. So they stopped him. They'll be able to win the game.
What's happening here? You're breaking up. Did you go into the practice dome?
No, I'm outside and it's windy as heck. Let me try to find a non-windy.
No, you're good. You're good now. Right. Well, they held Henry, I guess, to, 94 yards on 25 carries in the last game? Oh, I know what I wanted to ask. Have you already been in the locker room today?
Yeah, it was empty, but other than
empty,
that,
okay.
Yeah.
So you really don't have a feel for the vibe yet. I just wonder how this team is feeling collectively going into this game, if they're demoralized at all by the events of these past few weeks.
Usually you'll be able to tell after practice when Rodgers talks. He usually sets that tone, or at least reveals the tone that that the team has. So you'll be able to feel that. I mean, after the Cleveland game, that's probably the worst I've seen him in the terms of post-game press conferences and just agitated with a number of things. So I think he'll set the tone definitely here, coming up here in about 2 hours. But it's hard to tell because they only keep – They put us in the locker room for 15 minutes, and the players come in for the last two, so it was quite difficult to really talk to anybody. But it's normal. I mean, you would think the fans, maybe some media, hold on to those losses for a while. These players, I mean, across the board, they do let it go quite quickly. I mean, you would think that they would hold on to it and just be miserable 3-4 days later. But a lot of times that's not the case. It's like, you know, a day later, it's like you couldn't tell one if they won or lost a game. And that's what I would imagine the same feeling would be here.
You mentioned Rodgers being agitated afterward. He also seemed to be highly agitated during the game. And the vibe that I was getting watching it was almost like a leave me alone vibe to the sidelines. Am I onto something there? And if not, what exactly or in particular was he agitated with the other day?
Probably not making any plays. I don't know. You know, I know a lot of times when he does put the hands to the helmet type of situation, that's him basically saying, I'm calling the plays. So if you see that, that's what's happening. And you know, sometimes he doesn't even be that discreet about it, and he'll just say, wave him off. So, I mean, he has the opportunity, though, I mean, once that ball snapped, he can go where he wants. If he's the one that chose to throw the MVS three times, right, at the end there.
Yeah, and to Scotty Miller on the fade.
Yeah, but the fade was weird because they came out in the tush push without Darnell, and they had Jonnu there. Then they called timeout and had second thoughts. I don't know why they would have second thoughts at that point right then. Then they went to that fade. So I was just wondering if they just were unaware or unprepared for not having Darnell Washington for the tush push in that situation. I know it would be just 1 or 2 yards, but it would definitely move the chains right there. So that might have been a little bit miscommunication, maybe not being quite ready or not being ready for somebody like Jonnu Smith to take that in such a big spot as well. So, I mean, you look at MVS in those last three plays, I think two of them were just bad run routes. I think they're like choice routes. And I think he about to escape me, chose the wrong way to go.
Did we ever get to the bottom? I guess Rogers will help us get to the bottom of it. He said he had to check the tape, but it sure looked like two miscommunications in a row. And then he just forced the third one to him as well. I actually thought it was interference on the last play myself, but nobody wants to talk about that.
I mean, who are you going to believe, though, messed up? Rodgers or Valdez-Scantling?
Yeah, I hear you on that.
I'll always go with the receiver.
Well, do you think it'll be Rodgers' last game in the NFL if they lose?
Good one. Ooh, that's a good one. Trust me. Wow. I don't know. I mean, he's hinted toward it. He hinted both ways, right? He basically said he was done. Then he kept hinting towards maybe possibly coming back. Maybe it does depend on what happens here over the next, 72 hours, whenever they play again. Maybe he doesn't want to play. I think he's playing well enough that if he wants to come back, they would welcome him back. I mean, this is a guy, not only is he still playing at the high level other than last week, of course, but this guy was making, $10 million? I mean, you throw that into equation, that's perfect for what the Steelers want. Plus, like we said, there's no guarantee that they're going to get a better quarterback than him. I think the Steelers would welcome him back or want him back. It's just a matter of, does he want to come back? Seems like he has a lot of fun with Aaron Rodgers. It's a flip of the coin, man. I only know if I can make it prediction on this right now, other than I would imagine the Steelers would want him back. I don't know what he would be thinking, though.
Are the Steelers determined to draft a quarterback in the first round or no?
That'd be hard to do, man, right? You imagine that's going 1 and 2 right now, the Vegas.
I know, but it was always going to be hard to do, and I thought the narrative the whole time was they're gathering a bunches of resources to make a big splash at this draft in Pittsburgh. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but it wasn't at the time that we thought there was going to be 5 first-round quarterbacks. Now there's lucky to be 2.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be 2.
Well, if you have to go up to 1 or 2, then go up to 1 or 2.
You know how long it would go to pick from 18 to 2?
Yeah, you got to sacrifice tons of resources to get there. I thought that was going to be the idea this year.
That'd be like the Ricky Williams draft.
I don't know if it'd be that much.
The Ditka thing said, hey, take our entire draft class, just give me Ricky Williams.
Well, when are they going to get their quarterback of the future? This is a nagging little problem here.
Will Howard, right?
Yep.
I don't know, man. It just tells you it's a crapshoot. Imagine how fortunate a team like the 49ers were. What was he, Mr. Irrelevant? And that guy's freaking unbelievable, Brock Purdy. Sometimes you have to be lucky. Maybe Will Howard's your lucky guy, because you're not going to find anybody. I mean, even if you do draft one of those top, get up to number 1 or 2 and take Mendoza or whoever it is.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that they're going to be any good. You remember Josh Rosen back in the day, UCLA?
Of course. I remember a million people, yes.
I mean, there's no guarantee, but then you got guys like Dak, got guys like Brock Purdy, Russell Wilson, 3rd round, 4th round, 6th round. It's just an absolute crapshoot, and that's why, I mean, this is not what you're asking, but people want to talk about the Ravens getting rid of Lamar. Are you crazy? Well, get rid of that whole team rather than get rid of Lamar if he wants to be traded.
I agree with you.
You're choosing between Lamar and Harbaugh. Bye, Jim.
Exactly. John, in this case, sure.
Bye, John. See ya.
I agree with you for the 2nd time today. in one appearance. So what's the score? What's the score of the game then? Give me a score.
It's going to be ugly. Hey, there goes Chris Boswell. He's done for the day. 17-10 Steelers.
17-10 Steelers. And what was the best and worst Steeler moments of the entire year in your not so humble opinion?
Worst Steeler moment, that man, I don't want to be the guy that just looked at a couple days ago, but that was pretty ugly.
I mean, the three candidates are for moment are DK Metcalf, whatever you want to choose from the Browns game, and getting blown out by your arch rival and having Kirk Herbstreit call you quitters on national television, right?
Oh, that is this year, right? What about the Juan Thornhill dive in the oblivion? The nasty plunge.
A moment. The nasty plunge is exactly what it was. A moment frozen in time. Little Juan Thornhill. We hardly knew him.
I mean, the worst moment would have to be probably DK. Because, that resonates throughout the whole organization right now.
Yeah.
Best moment.
I mean, I guess the dry needling incident wasn't a high point either.
Oh, jeez.
No pun intended.
I'm going to have to sit down. That sounds like a Joe Starkey column.
How about the best play of the year for the Steelers of the entire year? I'm going to say Kenny Gainwell's catch, right?
Kenny Gainwell's pretty impressive catch.
And the worst play is Caleb Johnson's kick return.
Man, we got a lot more worse ones than we have good ones.
I mean, that's the story of the year in Pittsburgh sports in general. More bad than good.
There has to be some more. I'd go some blocks, maybe.
Yeah, we'll think of them.
Mason McCormick knocking out the DeForest Buckner play in Indianapolis was pretty...
How about the Detroit game? The final play was a big moment. There were some really good moments. That was a hell of a game. That was the Steeler game of the year. Anyway, we have to go. Happy New Year, big boy.
All right. We'll see you there, Joe. Bye-bye.
See you, buddy. What a nice man he is, huh, Charlie? Don't you say goodbye to him? You just let him go into the ether?
Sometimes he hangs up. Sometimes he does. So I just kind of leave it.
You should
Every now and again, I'll say goodbye to a guest. I always try to, but sometimes they hang up. Donnie just hangs up on the guest no matter what, so I don't Limits get a chance to say goodbye.
So that's interesting. Donnie hangs up on the guy. You go 50-50. Limits will be talking to the guy for an hour. Any of our guests. He continues to talk.
Donnie, when he's in there hosting and I'm producing, he'll say, ex-guest, check him out here. Have a good one. All right, bye, Donnie. Thanks. And that's normally when I will say goodbye, but Donnie always goes, and there he goes, and he hangs up on him.
I don't mind that either.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.